Hey everyone, welcome to episode 3 of the Are You The One Rehappa podcast. My name is Allie Lasher and I am joined by Adam Bongiovanni. Adam, what's going on?
Nothing much. Ready to talk Are You The One?
I should hope so. That's like the bare minimum requirement for showing up today.
That's the least we have to do, so I'll do my best to stay on topic.
Yeah, so I want to first thank our Caitlin1749 is our 5-star reviewer MVP. Not
wow.
only because she's the only one that mentioned Are You The One, but because she reviewed us not only on robisthewebsite.com/challenge iTunes, she also reviewed us on the Rehapups, MTV Reality Rehapups. Not MTV, just the regular Reality Rehapups.
Wow.
iTunes page. So 2 reviews. Big thank you to Caitlin1749.
That's
awesome. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Caitlin. We appreciate it.
All right. So did you forget, because I forgot, that we were going to go in this episode revealing a match or no match?
No, yeah, I completely forgot. It just like popped in my screen. I'm like, oh, yeah, that was supposed to happen.
Oh, yeah. That's normal. I was like so confident that Anthony and Gilles were going to be a match. I don't know why.
Yeah, I feel like me too. Like, I said that as soon as it happened. And then I'm like, wait, like, early matches? Like, that doesn't happen. Like, the first, second matchup ceremony is very rare. So I'm like, wow, like, are we just, like, are we blindly believing in these people to be, like, an actual thing?
Yeah, literally, it's the 6th season of Are You The One. And the 6th time, I'm like, oh, yeah, they're definitely a match.
I know. That just shows that you're a hopeless romantic when you're living through the members of Are You The One.
I was literally like, all right, show me the match. Oh, there's all this fake drama that build yep. up. And then I will say, though, in 6 seasons, and I shouldn't say anything I'm not sure of when there are recordings of me for all 6 seasons, or at least 5 seasons, I think we've done. This is the only couple I truly, for some reason, sympathize with how difficult it's going to be to split up.
No, I see that. I feel like they were actually not bad people. And I know, like, of course, not everyone's a terrible human being on Are You The One, but you often, like, can make a joke out of it. And I feel like they were genuinely sad. They didn't overreact. They didn't, like, both put on for the camera. I feel like those were genuine emotions. So as sucky as it was good to see people acting real and not put on for the camera.
Yeah, and I feel like their connection, at least what we saw, was based off of somewhat legitimate things. They talked about their family a lot. Like, yeah. they just seem to have a real connection. And usually I'm just sort of like, oh, it's 2 days, get over it. But I don't know. I think it's what Anthony said, I think is right, is like, now you're going to have to like do that all again in front of each other. It just kind of seems disingenuous, not genuine. It's early. it's not going to be genuine the next time. You know, they make these same connections with other people.
Which may be true. And at the same time, it is still early. There's a lot of people. I feel like we've seen people latch on to each other early, then drift apart and find the right person throughout the show. So I'm hopeful for both of them. They both seem like decent people. So fingers crossed.
That's like a rave. You describing someone on Are You The One as a decent person. You're much tougher on these people than I am. Mm-hmm. But you saying someone's a decent person on this podcast means like, yeah, they're Mother Teresa. That's
what
I hear.
Yeah, they're sane. Yeah, and I know Gilles has talked about her troubled past with guys and all that. But you know what? I feel like judging them just based on what they've done in the house, they both do seem like good people. I'm sure my opinion of them will change very soon. But for our week 3 podcast, I'm saying something nice about 2 separate people.
Do you think, let's predict like the future here. Get out your crystal ball. What do you think is going to happen with them? Like, do you think they're going to be able to split up? Do you think we're not going to, like, a couple weeks from now, we're not even going to remember they were not a match? Do you think they're going to fight and be dramatic to stay together?
I feel like their show is setting up similarly what it did last year when these non-matches would stick together and everyone else in the house got really pissed off, like Taylor and Andre last season. And there's a part of me that seems like, okay, maybe they'll move on. But I think the stronger part of me thinks that they're going to try to stick together and have one of those, well, like my heart's with him, but like I'm still getting to know other people type of thing. But yeah, so I think they're going to have trouble separating.
Yeah, I think they kind of seem like low drama by comparison, almost like Taylor and Andre. Like they kind of seemed like low drama by comparison to a lot of people like Kiki and Devin come to mind. Anyway, I will say like, I worry about everyone's boy, Ethan. We have so many questions and comments about Ethan this episode, and we'll get to it. I don't know how I feel yet, but I worry that Jaless is really going to try. Like, they to me seem like a couple that's going to try to date other people on the low, like find their match. And then the reunion's going to come and like they're dating.
Yeah, no, that seems very likely at this point. And of course, you would probably go on social media and like figure it out. I have not like stalked either of them on social media, so I'm going into this kind of blindly. But I completely agree with what you're saying. They're going to they're definitely a post show couple if we've seen one this far.
Yeah, no, I definitely don't. That we should make a note of that. So like, Are You the One? I think the cast is pretty good about not spoiling stuff, but like you can do the math, and we got a lot of questions this week and last week about the format, and does the format indicate they're going to win? And then I'm not interested in speculating on that kind of thing. Like, yeah, Let's just enjoy the ride. Yeah. I'm also digging for spoilers and trying to figure things out. So Are You the One wash over you, you know, don't think too hard.
Yeah. Let it just like seep into your soul and into your pores and take over who you are.
Okay. So, so with, Anthony and Jaless not being a match, it does Clinton and Uche sort of like think it strengthens the possibility that they are a match, in the sense that Anthony and Jaless are not one of the three beams from the first week.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I feel like in of course they're going to be more confident because it just their odds increase. And I feel like every couple in the house that was sitting together week one, like I think it was Ethan who said it, that, oh my God, everyone thinks they're one of these three matches, when in reality, there's eight couples that aren't a match. I think that Clinton and Uche, for some reason, I'm getting this vibe that they're not a match. I don't know why. Maybe because we haven't seen much about them, but they're obviously all more confident than I am.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because we're mostly, when we see Uche and Clinton, it's not like showing us why they like each other. It's like from Jada's perspective of like waiting for them to not be a match. Oh, but I'm holding out hope.
Yeah, no. Do you think that we're gonna see a huge blow up? Like, because like, they're obviously editing Jada in there for a reason. Like, there has to be something that's gonna come of it. But I could see them not being a match, like going to the Truth Booth, not being a match, and then Jada swooping right in there. And that being what they're foreshadowing, do you think that that's a solid possibility, or do you think they're just kind of editing drama for there to be drama?
I definitely think it's a possibility, but I really just don't think that Clinton is interested in Jada at all.
True. True. Yeah. I forgot about their whole little scene last episode where she's trying to stir the pot and he wasn't about it.
But we'll see. I mean, I would have thought that Malcolm wasn't into Nerys and now they're in love. So what do I know?
Yeah, and Dee Dee is still into Malcolm.
Oh my God, so much to talk about with that. But first we get sort of like the saddest conversation, for me at least, with Keith and Alexis. Like, I loved Alexis coming into the season. I cannot stand Keith. I hate this couple. And I was trying to explain why I hated Keith. I was watching with my New Orleans correspondent last night again. And he was just like, Keith just has a hateable face. I think he nailed it. Keith just has a hateable face.
It's true. And I feel like we're allowed to say that about good looking people, because it's like, you're good looking. Like, screw you. We're allowed to say you have a hateable face. Like, it's warranted. Like, if it was someone who's like stereotypically not the best looking person, I feel like I'd be like, oh, I feel kind of bad for them. Screw you, Keith. You have a hateable face.
Yeah. I don't even think, I mean, Keith is obviously a good looking guy to some people. Like, I'm not going to say he's not a good looking guy.
But yeah,
I would say he has a hateable face, even if he was like 600 pounds. Oh. Like, he just has a hateable face. I don't need permission. Yeah.
Good for you. No, you go for it. You talk about Keith's hateable face.
And we had this on the challenge, but the only thing, we're going to have to talk about Kiana and Michael, but I'm going to postpone that as long as possible, except to chastise her for saying daddy. Like, can we just, women of the world, I implore you, like, please stop calling men daddy. It is the worst thing in the world.
Oh, that's like just, I don't understand the appeal for either party. Like, I don't get it at all. So, like, I really can't even put myself in that mindset. Like, I just don't understand why you'd want someone to call you daddy, why you'd want to call your significant other daddy. It just seems like there's a bunch of other issues that you're not seeing just based on calling someone daddy.
Yeah, we're dealing with this on the challenge too. Brittany is tweeting about Derek calling him daddy, and I'm just like, bleh, bleh, bleh.
Is she doing it in like a sarcastic, like joking way? Like, are they, are Derek and Brittany like an item?
You know what? You're going to have to tune into the challenge up later today to find out.
Oh. Did you record it yet?
Synergy.
I'm excited. I'm pumped now.
We are recording this evening because I had another commitment yesterday.
I got it. Cool.
All right. So thank God for Ethan and Tyler who interrupt Narice and Malcolm right before I vomited to be everything that Chuck and Big D wish they could have been. And sing this perfect match song. What did you make of this rap?
Tyler can't sing for his life. Like, I'm sorry. I thought Ethan did a really good job. And you know, I've been a fan. One of the few people I'm a fan of is Ethan. So, but I thought he did a good job, and I thought his flow was nice. But Tyler started singing. No offense. Like, he was playing a ukulele. I know people think that like when you play a ukulele, if you sing softly, it sounds good. Like, I thought he sounded awful, and I just was. Not that I wasn't cringing, I wasn't at that point, but I just didn't enjoy his voice at all.
Would you say Ethan's flow naturally flew?
Oh, yeah. Oh, it definitely, it naturally flew for sure.
Here's the thing about this. I thought it was a good play for guys who self-describe as being often put in the quote-unquote friend zone. Like, women aren't that interested in them right now. So you know what we're going to do? We're going to like show off our talents. We're going to show that we're funny. We're going to show our personalities. They're good looking guys, but like they just have this complex. I don't blame them for being in that kind of house. You get a complex. And yeah. I thought this was a good play. And it worked at least for Ethan right now that it did get him some positive attention.
Yeah, no, Jellies. And she's like a really pretty girl. And he was like, wow. Like, and he was like commenting on that she's into him. She's a great looking girl. So you know what? It's good to see him getting attention. And like, I feel like every time how many times, I'm going to look real quick. I have it right here that he sat next to Jada in the matchup ceremony. Oh, so they've sat next to, that was just the first one before this episode. And we'll get into the matchup later. But when they sat next to each other, it was very clear that she didn't want to be next to him. Kiana did not want to be in the truth booth with Ethan. So it's good that someone's taking interest in him that actually has interest in him and is not being forced to.
No, totally agree. Great look for Ethan this episode. Unfortunately for Tyler, it didn't have the same effect where Nicole and Tyler are talking. And then Nicole like does a confessional saying like, if she's actually interested in the guy, she doesn't know what to do. Like, clearly to say that she's not actually interested in Tyler.
Yeah,
womp womp.
I know, it's sad. I'm sure Tyler will find someone, but it doesn't seem like that person is Nicole.
I will say, still MVP of the Twitter game. So good for you, Tyler.
Yeah, I did take notice of his tweets. He's doing a solid job.
All right, so we have. First, we get these like little buildups. I'm just skipping Olivia and Kareem because like whatever. We get these little buildups of Kiana and Michael where it's just like so clear that Michael is not into Kiana over the last three episodes. Mm-hmm. And he makes this little like, I'm going to go take a nap. And she's like, can I come? And then she's complaining to the girls like, Michael says the whole house will be pissed if we nap together. And like, he needs to stop caring about what other people think. And it's like, ooh, girl, take the hint.
Yep. Yeah, I feel bad. Like, if anyone's ever felt clingy before, for anyone listening, for the people who do listen, if you feel like you're in a clingy relationship where you're the clingy one, I want you to watch this episode and see how it looks. And then I don't think anyone will ever want to be clingy again. Cause it was just like he was doing everything and she's like, I could just watch. And like, I feel bad for the girl. Like, I really genuinely feel bad for her because it seems like she didn't understand it. Like, she didn't realize what she was doing. And I hope maybe if she watches it back, like, she could just be, okay, like, maybe in the next go-around, I'd just give them a little bit of space.
Yeah, literally, Kiana wants to wear Michael's skin, and it's not really working for Michael.
No, well, she's wanted to do that before the show, like, via his Instagram. So, like, I feel like this was destined for failure since she said, I follow you on Instagram.
And that's the issue, like, for me, is, like, I hate Michael, but I do agree with him. Like, you know, like, I don't like him. I'm not, like, proud of him for doing this. But I agree. Kiana's been creepy since, like you said, the Instagram thing when she walked in the house. And then she's still not receiving the information. So, like, she's like, oh, Michael wants to put me on the back burner. Like, you're not on the back burner. You're off the stove. You're cooling. Yeah. Like, you've been put on a trivet. Like, there's nothing left to do here.
It's true. It's so true because... And I agree with you. Like, I was not a fan of Michael, but like this past episode, when it comes to his relationship with Kiana, like when he did tell her, he was like, hey, look, like I need space. Like, this is all like a little too much. Like, whatever, she's following him around. I'm sure he didn't go into that gruesome detail, but like, she got upset. He comforted her for a second, but then he went and got Jada. Cause I think he realizes that if he stayed with her, he comforted her, he was over the top boyfriend mode, like she would have got the wrong idea and been led on further. So as much as he's a douche and like everything about him does scream douche, I think that it was a solid move on his part to say, okay, like this is not working out for me, and yeah, I'll lead her on.
It was interesting, like, to see how the house dynamics are versus what we're shown on television. So, like, if you were to tell me that somebody was going to need to call in a woman to see comfort, you know, I wouldn't have picked Jada, especially when she walks in with a bathing suit that says Savage on it.
It was funny. That was funny.
But, and then he goes to see the captain, just like battles to the face. We have a question from Derek Paul on Twitter. You can tweet us your questions anytime up until 10:15 a.m. on Thursday mornings at Lash Tweets or at Adam Bongo. Well, if you do at Adam Bongo without me, then he's going to have to bring the question in. So you're on notice, Adam.
Got it.
Did you feel a tinge of joy when Mike moved on from clingy and shallow Kiana after how she treated Ethan like she did? Hashtag e-money team.
Okay, I think it was, this whole show is just going to be vindication for Ethan in one way or the other. Like, that's what the concept of the season is. So, like, I wasn't happy for that exact reason. Like, oh, screw her, now she's getting her own for messing with our boy Ethan. But I was more focused on just the relationship between her and Michael, and that it was really looking pathetic on her part for just following him around. For her sake, I was more happy that this kind of didn't go down as she would hope.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm, like, thrilled as revenge. I don't know that she did, like, she, like, played out Ethan, but at the time it wasn't just, like, Jada's almost playing out Ethan. She doesn't have another connection, so she's just, like, grossed out by Ethan.
Yeah.
At least, like, Kiana was, like, so into Michael. I'm like, what do you want her to do?
You know, I agree.
All right, so I have a special segment this week that I teased last week, but I didn't really appreciate how phenomenal it would be until I woke up this morning from pages and pages of notes from Molly Block, our now official matchup fashion correspondent. This is the one benefit to getting the matchup ceremony midway through the episode, is you get Molly's take on the fashion earlier in the podcast than you would if the structure of the episode was halfway decent.
Works for me. I'm excited.
So I had planned to just read this out and, like, pick out the highlights, and I was just effing dying the whole time. So I'm just going to pretty much read it word for word from Molly. People, let us know if this is too boring in the future, but it's not, because Molly's amazing. Okay. So first she said, Terrence J, looking fly, has exceeded very low expectations. Fair enough. Alexis and Keith, pull that stupid flower out of your hair. This ain't Mexico. Keith in a t-shirt, ho-hum, just like his personality. Uche and Clinton, this is a hot couple. And I'm not just saying that because I went to college with one of them. Disclaimer, Uche does not represent the typical NU student. Burn on NU. Molly and I went to NU together, obviously. Uche is anti-Braun. I'm all for it. Clinton's hair didn't make me want to puke, so kudos to him. Zoe and Tyler. And this is also how we'll present who matched up with whom. Zoe and Tyler. Zoe looks very girl next door with the high half ponytail. Florals for spring ain't groundbreaking. But my mom just called me and I got off the page. Sorry for the comedic flow here. Damn it. That really ruined it. Okay. Spring florals for spring ain't groundbreaking, though. Insert Miranda Priestly gif. Kiana and Michael. This is Kay's revenge body and face. Are you familiar, Adam, with revenge body?
No. What is revenge body?
This comes from Khloe Kardashian. It's like when your body is right to get revenge when your ex sees you. Like, revenge body.
Oh, okay. Got it. That makes sense.
Okay. So makeup and hair are flawless. And then I have to omit everything else that that Molly said, because I'm not comfortable reading it on the air, but it was hilarious.
That's amazing. So you just have to, everyone while listening has to know it was hilarious and just believe it, and then we're good to go.
All right. Then Jada and Ethan, she said, taking bets now on what pastel colored suit Ethan will flaunt at the final matchup. He's that guy.
He is that guy. For sure that guy.
So you want to put in a, you want to take a bet on what color?
I'm going to say orange.
I'm going light blue. So we're on Dumb and Dumber wavelengths
here.
Yeah,
we are. Wow. I feel like that was like those are two colors that anyone who would like to draw attention to themselves would go with. So I feel like we're batting pretty high here, and I think the odds are in our favor.
Yeah, definitely. Olivia and Kareem. Molly says, this is the first episode I noticed this girl, but who can look at her when Kareem is having such a painful fashion fail? A flannel shirt with no sleeves, but the sleeve seems her frayed, and it's buttoned up to the top with a backwards cap. What? Who knew someone could make so much out of a cutoff flannel? Molly Kevin. That's why she's getting paid the big bucks to be our fashion correspondent.
Oh, for sure. Millions.
So Nerys and Malcolm, is Malcolm second guessing choosing Nerys after seeing this look? Belts and shoes are supposed to match, but never heard of needing to coordinate your dress and lipstick, especially in the blue family. Boom.
Boom, roasted.
Nicole and Dimitri, don't at me, but D has style. He obviously needs something to make up for his obvious lack of height, which I feel like I should tell you that Molly is about 3 foot tall. So if she's burning you for your height, it's bad.
I always wonder how tall these men actually are. Like, I wish there was like a height chart.
I totally agree with her that he does look small.
He does, but like I'm looking at the cast photo now to like see how he compares.
All right. While you're doing that, Deandra and Anthony, D looks like Tinkerbell wearing a cheap bridesmaid's dress from Kohl's. What? I love her. Okay. So then she said, Anthony had some weird pattern on his shirt, but honestly, he had so little screen time, I barely could register it. Joe and Audrey, apparently she's just been back-to-back horrific pants-related outfits. She was wearing a very tiny romper this week. But then she says, Joe's ponytail makes me want to hurl. If you have long hair, man bun, or GTFO. And then finally, Jaless and Shad. She's gorgeous enough to forgive her two-piece hot pink outfit, but her and Nicole from the challenge are lash twins. She would also pull her lashes off in a physical challenge because I bet they ain't cheap. So thank you, Molly, for your recklessness. It is appreciated and enjoyed, at least by me.
No, I appreciate it as well. And I would also pull off my lashes for every podcast we do. So I'm in the same boat as Nicole. And I honestly forgot the girl she mentioned from Ari, the one who pulled off her lashes.
Well, no, Jaless, I guess, was just noticeably lashed.
True. Got it.
All right. So so Alexis picks Keith, as Molly noted, the first couple. Keith gives us a lecture, and I'm just like, I can't stand this. Like, mansplaining, big daddy attitude. I'm just like, to borrow from Shay Not Shy, boy bye.
He's in this, like, he's on the wrong show. Like, does he not, I keep saying, does he not realize which show this is?
What's the right show for him, though?
No, nothing. There's absolutely no right show. Maybe I'm trying to think. Like, what's the show Married at First Sight, where they make people get married like by meeting someone? I feel like he'd be good for that because you have to stay with the same person.
Yeah, but you're allowed to not get married, so I feel like they'd see his hateable face and just be like, bah.
Yeah, but they have to like at least give it a try. So I think he'd be happy with like 4 weeks of trying.
That's possible. So yeah, what else happened? This Tyler is so sad when Zoe picks Tyler. He's like, I'm okay that I'm her number two pick. Like, she only picked me because Keith was taken, but at least I get to sit next to a beautiful girl for a couple hours. Woof.
I was more concerned, like, when he said a couple of hours, like, are magic ceremonies that long?
Oh yeah. Like, this is so, like 3 a.m. They're like gassed out.
Yeah. So, okay. So, you know, like in Survivor, like tribal counselors are way longer than because they have to get all the shots and ask a bunch of questions till Jeff gets what he wants. Is that the same case for Are You the One? Like, if you discussed this on the podcast before, prior to my joining?
What, like the timeline?
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like I have to go back and listen to some of the interviews we used to do. Mm. But like, yeah, I definitely think that the matchups, I remember hearing the matchup ceremony takes like a long ass time. And sometimes I feel like, if I'm not mistaken, like they've left and it's been like sunrise and you can tell in the.
True. You're right. No, that definitely has happened. But like, for some reason I didn't put that together. So when he said it's been for a few hours, I was like, oh my God, like I didn't even think that they'd be there longer. Like I was just dumbly, after being a reality TV fan for so many years, believing that what I see on TV is what I get.
A healthy amount of skepticism is good, but I like, let's suspend our disbelief. This matchup ceremony is 10 minutes.
Oh, awesome. Okay, cool. 8 minutes to be exact.
So then we have the 180 turn heard around the world, Kiana, who Michael is saying, first of all, I have so many issues with this. The first is, Michael, I don't understand how my match works. Last name. I don't know what his name is. He's like, we could maybe be a match down the road, like after I smash some other homies, but not now. That is not how this works. You don't get to control who your match is, when they are. It doesn't switch. Sorry.
It's terrible. No, I'm not surprised at all. Like, I feel like he's just, like, he has the face of a douche. Like, it's just, you have to, like, expect him to have douchebag qualities at this point.
Yeah, no, he's the worst, and he's dressed the worst. Oh, I omitted. I was so distracted by Kiana. Oh no, I had to omit Molly's joke about Michael. I was uncomfortable, but I loved it. I agreed. Michael looks absolutely horrific in this episode with the vest and the chain and the ring and the way his hair is parted. It's just a mess, but
yeah,
he's not, this is not his revenge face and body.
Mm-mm.
But I knew this was happening. Like, I was watching my New Orleans correspondent, and he's like, you know, buying what Kiana's selling. Like, I'm going to do a 180. It's a new me. Like, he doesn't want to be my match. And I'm like, cue Michael pick 100%.
Yep. No, I, Michael, okay, there's something about him. And I think maybe, I feel like his head is too small for his body. Like, and I, every time I look at him, I feel like his head is shrinking. And I can't get this thought out of my head. So, like, I don't have really anything analytical to say about Michael and, like, who he's going to be matched up with. I do have a lot to say about how small his head is.
That's amazing. It's like Leroy. He's the new Leroy.
Yes. That's it. And but I feel like Leroy rocks it better than Michael does.
Yeah. I mean, here's the thing, though, with Kiana's pick. Like, I'm upset for her. I'm upset for women. I'm upset for me. But in terms of, like, the strategy, you had three matches. They were matched up last week. You know that Jules and Anthony are in a match. Like, strategically, it's not a bad move to pick him again. And as I always complain about, sitting next to someone doesn't mean you think they're their match or you like them or you want to date them. Like, sometimes you have to make strategic decisions. So it just wasn't a good look for her, but it wasn't the stupidest thing.
No, I agree. I think that a lot of these people, they just see what's in front of them. They don't, like, actually, like, analyze things. And I'm sure I'm not giving them enough credit, but they're on our either one, so how much credit should I really give them? So I think it is a solid decision. Is she doing it for strategic reasons, though? Like, is there any, honestly, like, do you think there's any bone inside of her that's like, I'm doing this for the greater good of the house? Or is she like, I believe I'm a match with Michael? And that's how they're editing it. But, like, I'm very curious to see how much strategy went into her choice.
Yeah, probably not a lot.
Yeah, you're right.
But this is the big story of the night, is Jules saying that she's interested in Ethan. And it rocked the house and it rocked the Twitter sphere. So let's talk about Ethan. Mm-hmm. Kay Gracie, or Kay Grace, unclear, on Twitter, said, why am I so confused about Ethan, who I don't even know? I'm half attracted to him, half annoyed by him, fully confused.
That sounds like the making of a solid relationship. I feel like you should be, like, whoever you're dating, like, you have to have a good amount of, I love you, but I want to kill you. So, like, I feel like, to me, Ethan is, like, the, I like him the best out of anyone. I think he's the most likable person because what we see is what we get. I don't think he's putting on too much besides his musical breakouts. So I like Ethan. Like, I said that before in the podcast. I think, is Jules, does she really believe that she wants to be with Ethan, or is she just saying that because she's trying to move on from Anthony? I don't know. I hope this brings up his confidence a little bit, at least.
Yeah, that is my worry with Jules. Like, she likes Ethan. He's got a good personality, and maybe she thinks they could be a match. I don't know if she's, like, romantically interested in him.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I feel like he'll definitely be friend-zoned by 98% of this cast. I just hope that the 2% of one person gives him a little bit of attention. Also, he's 27, and, like, most of the oldest girl is 23, and I know it's not a huge age gap, but I feel like if you're an Instagram model who is potentially shallow and are you the one, you might think there's an issue with that someone's close to 30 and they're closer to 20.
Yeah, Adam, I just have to say that anytime someone says they'll be friend zoned, an angel loses its wings, or I die a little inside. But yes, I agree. Haley Strong, I have to have her jump in here. Haley Strong, who is dating someone named Ethan, said, do I have a thing for Ethan's, or is this one actually pretty good?
I think we all have a thing for Ethan's deep down. We just don't know it yet.
I don't know. I'm still on the fence with Ethan. I get why people like him. I get what he's about. I get the appeal. I like seeing him on screen, but I'm not 100% sold yet.
Mm. I understand that. That makes total sense. He still has some way to go, I feel like, to really prove that he's a solid human being. Like, I don't give out that pass after only three episodes. Like, it's way too early in the season to give out the solid human being pass to anyone already the one this early on.
Your ice heart is melting.
Yeah, maybe. And also, I'm going through their ages. Like, Clinton's 21. Like, that shocks me. Like, he looks so, like, I thought he was so much older than that.
I know. Don't look at their ages. It'll depress the hell out of you.
I am 25. I look like I'm 16. And there's these guys. Joe looks 30. Malcolm's 25. Tyler's 6'8". I guess that doesn't matter much for age, but it still bothers me. And Michael's 21. Shad's 24. I feel like that makes kind of sense. Like, he looks like he's a creepy 24.
I'm dead. That was a great assessment. Yeah, it is weird. Like, I think Malcolm, to me, when you said he's 25, I was shocked by that. Like, he looks pretty young.
Yeah, he looks younger, and most of these guys look older. Dimitri looks 17, and he's 26. Like, shouldn't there be an age cutoff? Like, you know how American Idol used to, like, not let people audition unless they were, like, if they were over 30, I believe it was, or whatever the age range was? There's got to be a cutoff for the one, like, from, like, 21 to, like, 24. I feel like any older is kind of sad.
Oh, my God, I totally disagree with you. I don't.
So you want older
that.
People?
I don't care about their age. Like, if you're gonna act like Malcolm at 25, like, that's fine with me.
True.
I'm 26. I've fully regressed since being in law school. I act like I still need a fake ID to get into a bar. So
maybe, like, you need, instead of a age cutoff, like an immaturity cutoff. Yeah. Like, if you're immature enough to ride Are You the One, you're more than welcome to.
Exactly. So we have one beam this week. Were you surprised by that, or was that about right?
I feel like I really didn't, and this is, maybe I should think more analytically about it, but I was just like, oh, like, yeah, they messed up. Like, that happens early on in Are You the One? I wasn't, like, analyzing, like, each couple and who was with who. So all I really took from the one beam is that you're going to get a lot of the people who are matched up week one that were still matched up that are going to be extremely sad. Like, Clint and Uche, they could potentially not be a match. Kareem and Olivia, potentially not be a match. And I feel like that's going to throw a wrench in the dynamic of their relationships. But I wasn't too shocked.
Yeah, I think they're all going to hold out that they're the one beam until they get in the truth booth. But, like, Nerys and Malcolm, another couple, like, I was surprised because to me it felt like a lot of the couples were still together. So what that means is at least two of the three week one matches, or I guess episode two, but week one matches, were just, like, random stragglers.
Mm-hmm. If you had to choose one couple that you want it to be, not that you think it is, that, like, you want the match to be, who would it be?
Give me Uche and Clinton, because I don't think their breakup's going to give me any joy. Like, I'll get a little joy out of Nerys and Malcolm if they're not a match. But, like, Uche and Clinton, I don't think they're going to really, like, play the field. I don't think they're going to be dramatic. I don't think, you know, there's no, like, just, like, let them be in love, go to the honeymoon suite, and be done.
It'd be really funny to me if it's Keon and Michael, just based on how everything's gone, and we'd see a lot more drama with that. I know I'm talking about these people like they don't have real feelings, but... Okay, so Kareem and Olivia, oh my God, I would love if they weren't the match. Like, they both have bothered me, like, just the way they act. Kareem is, like, my least favorite person on the show, and, like, that's saying a lot. Okay, there's a lot that weighs in. I think that the vibe I get from Kareem is that he's putting on for the camera 24/7. I feel like everything he says is, like, scripted. And, like, I'm sure we'll get into the argument with Michael, but that was the straw that broke the camel's back for me. Everything he said in that argument just felt like it wasn't a real human being talking. And, like, that really bothers me when it feels like we're not getting any genuine from their character, you know? Like, that's the vibe I got when he was speaking, when he's been speaking.
I think that's fair. So what I want to know about this issue, so when Michael goes to Olivia and just suggests that he doesn't think that Olivia and Kareem are a match, what was Michael's goal here?
I don't know. Do you think he was maybe interested in Olivia and, like, there was more to the conversation where he's like, maybe, like I'm really attracted to you and, like then went into her, I don't think you and Kareem are a match? Or do you think he was just bored and mad, so he took it out on someone who he'd get a rise out of? Like, it doesn't seem like there's much positive that's going to come from this.
Yeah, and he's, like, later we see, like, into Audrey. So it's not even like he's, like, really trying to make a clear play for Olivia or, like, he thinks. So I really don't know. I can't read Michael because I think he's, like, a little bit robotic. So
yeah, no, I agree. I don't know if we'll really ever get a good read about this situation and why he did it. Like, because even after Kareem confronted him, he didn't say much.
Yeah. He just, like, shut down. I don't know that he really thought too much about it. Like, he just didn't think they were a match. Maybe he's interested in Olivia and just said it. But it was, I did like how Kareem said, you have a lot on your plate to be orchestrating shit between them. Like, that is true. Like, Michael's plate is full.
Yeah, he's got Thanksgiving dinner's worth of food on his plate. So he just had to take a step back and let other couples self-destruct on their own, because they will.
All right, I need to get you to explain this challenge to me.
Yeah, I honestly still don't know what went on. Like, they had to carry eggs, like, and they each had this, like, was it like a golden egg? And, like, whatever it was, it looked like something you'd get on, like, Easter. And, like, somebody in your family would hide it for you as a young child. So they give them all these eggs, and then if they drop them, they're out until the final three couples. And there's an actual egg inside of it. And, like, at one point, they're, like, cooking. Like, I don't know. I was just so confused by this whole concept. It felt super lazy to me from Are You the One's, like, producers and challenge coordinators.
See, I will say I love this only because it totally leans into how bullshit the show is. Like, it's, like,
true.
They're not pretending to. It's almost like Big Brother's competitions. Like, they're not pretending to be anything they're not. You come in, you sling an arrow at a balloon. You come in, you hold an egg in a spoon. You try to drink and whatever. You know, it's just like they don't care.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. So I agree with what you're saying.
So my New Orleans correspondent, he only is probably the only person who watches this for the date because he likes to see where they go out in New Orleans. Ugh. But when they said that this was a gumbo spoon, he's like, that's not a thing. So we Googled it. That's not a thing. Just like a big spoon for serving gumbo. This wasn't any special spoon.
So they fabricated and they mess with our emotions.
I will say, what's interesting about this challenge is it was the first one of the season where they get to decide who their couples are going to be. It's not like the balloon, like a random matchup. Audrey and Michael, ugh, gross me out. And Shad is just like a very clear reject of this bunch. He's not getting a lot of time for it, but, you know, he's like the default choice at this point.
And, like, I think we could have seen that one coming, though. Shad doesn't, based on the fact that he refers to himself as the Shad, I don't think he has too much to offer.
So I think people were asking us on Twitter, like, why are people doing anything? Why are they drinking? Why are they cooking? Why are they playing limbo? Like, clearly, like, the producers, this was part of the challenge, like, do these activities. My question, though, is, like, you know, we talked about this season after season with Brian, with you, with whoever, like, why don't they rig these? Like, if you are I mean, you want to go on the date. That's, like, the issue. But, like, to me, when you're down to the final four, like, you want Nerys and Malcolm at least there. So, like, Olivia and Kareem, Nerys and Malcolm, Audrey and Michael and Jules and Ethan are the last four. Why aren't Audrey, Michael, and Jules and Ethan just dropping their eggs to make sure that Nerys and Malcolm or Olivia and Kareem are up to go into the truth booth?
I think it's selfishness. I think they want to go on the date. I think they want to, like, they want to explore this couple or this newfound relationship, or B, maybe they just want more TV time. And I agree with you. If you're trying to win the money, why are you just everyone that's getting together? Okay, the X amount of couples you guys drop, we'll put Malcolm and Nerys in the truth booth and we'll figure that out. Like, it did feel kind of weird. And maybe they did discuss it and just had to make it look authentic, but I don't know. It seemed like they were really trying with this limbo.
Yeah, no, Malcolm and Nerys are in love, so they should absolutely be sent to the truth booth and everyone should drop their eggs.
Yeah, she changed Malcolm for sure.
Oh my god. I like, let's see how much he's changed when they're not a match. Like, I need that to not be a match next week. Need it.
He's so annoying with this. Like, I feel like he's another one that is always talking in, like, this, like, TV talk where he's trying to sound cool. I feel like there's not once where he's let his guard down and just normally talk. Like, everything's like, girl, you got me feeling some type of way. Like, everything is that. And it's just like, I want to see the normal person behind this player in Malcolm. And I don't think we will see that.
Well, I just can't stand it because it's like, we're pretending their origin story was completely different than it was. Like, he picked somebody else over you, which is fine. It's already the whatever. And yeah. like now all of a sudden it's like it was always Nerisse and like they're just so naturally and their flow naturally flew. Like, no, it didn't. You flew through Didi. Like, what are you talking about?
Exactly. And that's why I think because he even lies to like when it's clearly obvious that he's lying. So it's just he's definitely that type of person.
All right. What'd you think of this date? I have a note to myself to try to make a Gator golf joke, which is a total fail. I was drinking my wine kind of hit me, I think, by this point in my notes.
That's so funny. Okay. So what I'm trying to think about, oh, the date was when they were, okay. Yeah, no, I know. Okay. I'm back.
So Ethan says to Gilles, you're one of my favorite people I've met in the last year. What a praise. How many people have you been meeting?
I know, really. Like, and maybe he's met some people in the music industry. And he's just, that's a real high praise for him. But to most people, like, I don't, can't, like, the number of people in the last year that I've, remembered and, like, built a friendship with, like, is so small. So, like, that's, and he's on a TV show where his goal is to meet people and make relationships. So I feel like this is a very, like, obvious thing. And I think she's actually, like, impressed with the statement. Like, I think she appreciates it. But I don't know. I just felt like we didn't get to see the real date, and it did feel kind of awkward to me, them sitting there.
Speaking of awkward, let's go to Michael and Autry.
Oh my god.
I will say it is so, like, such a stark difference to see Michael when he has to try and is actually interested in the woman than Michael with Kiana. He gives her this heart pretzel. People were noting to us that, like, apparently there's, like, a lot of like bugs and shit in what he gave her. But he does have this line, which I can't stand, where he's like, oh, I don't care about physical appearances. Like, I don't care if you're ugly. Like, I think that's just like, Michael, show me one girl that wasn't super hot that you've dated. And also, like, you're saying that to Audrey, like, she should be impressed by that. Like, she's gorgeous, too.
Yeah, come on. Like, Michael, obviously, based on his attitude, like, I think it feels like he's trying to appeal to people. And like, oh, look, I'm a good guy. Like, like, we kind of seen everything else you've done this week. Like, this isn't the only confessional you had. Like, you can't really fool us right now.
I love that. We've seen you. And some of us have seen you on Instagram, Kiana.
And fallen in love with you on Instagram. But that's only just Kiana and me.
So they come back and Malcolm and Nerisse get voted in, to no one's surprise. I will say this cast has been phenomenal in terms of getting early strong couples in the truth booth.
Yeah, you know, that's a solid. Like, we had last week with Anthony and Jalice and Jealous. I still can't say her name.
Jealous,
thank you.
Anthony and Jealous.
Jealous. Anthony's jealous. No. And now, you know, it's going to be great to see Malcolm and Nerisse not be a perfect match, because I think, is there any chance that they're a perfect match?
Yeah, there's always a chance, because when I don't want someone to be a match, they're a match.
So that's, do you think, like, give me a percentage then.
With my luck, I would say 75% a match, but wow, with what I want, no chance of a match.
Okay. So if they're a match, then, like, either way, you could say you called it.
Yeah, that's, I like to ride the line.
There you go.
No, I'm going to put my whole self behind it. No match.
Yeah, I think that there's so much more drama to be had for Malcolm, and I think he's going to screw up a lot of young ladies' lives in the next few weeks on either one. So I believe that we'll still see Malcolm roaming the mean streets of the Are You the One house.
And we keep seeing Didi, like, defend Malcolm. Like, at least Jade is like, you know, annoyed about things or whatever. I don't know. Like, the way that Didi talks about Malcolm in her confessionals is like she's still under some impression that, like, he wants her.
It's sad.
Like, he's like, I know you, like, want me. Ugh. Like, I know you're just with her. For what? Like, he had you and chose her. I'm confused.
It is really sad. And, like, there's nothing that I get. Maybe we're not seeing, like, them behind the scenes, and that's why it looks so sad. And maybe he's, like, still spitting solid game to her, where she thinks that, oh, well, he's real interested. Maybe he's telling her that behind Nuri's back. But I think he's pretty invested in Nuri's at this moment, at least, because she changed him.
Yeah, I know, right? And draw here is, if Malcolm and Nerisse are a match, it invalidates the chance that Uche and Clinton are a match. So we shall see.
We shall.
I'm scrolling through Deandra's tweets, because she tweeted something else that was, like, so in defense of him. oh yeah, this is it. You have to respect a man being straight up rather than, oh wait, no, sorry. I thought that this was, yes, that's fair. That's about Michael. I thought it was about Malcolm. Never mind.
Well, I'm sure she said it about Malcolm in some way, shape, or form. So we can just pretend it's about Malcolm because I'm sure she issued that to him at some point.
All right. So we have some other Twitter action from our digital communications strategist, Megan Elizabeth. Like, Clinton is so mean about Jada on Twitter. Like, Clinton writes, when Jada out here making plans for us, in quotes, and it's like this baby, like, looking with, like, a terrified face.
Oh, my God.
Tyler, some of Tyler's highlights. Kiana, Michael, do you need help cooking? Do you need help watching the food cook? Do you need help standing? I can be your left leg.
Oh, my God. That's hysterical, though. See, good for him. I'm glad we have some creative people in Are You the One. It always feels good.
And then he says, Kiana, I'm not clingy, but I just want to put your face on my face or cut your face off and use as a mask and be you. Not clingy, though.
Wow. You see, like, he's the unsung MVP of the episode. He tried to sing, and then, you know, he's been having these great tweets.
And then Uche says, Kiana, if that was a 180, we're going to need you to do a 360, sis.
And then did you see the one where he said, because they were talking about La, and he goes, L-U-H stands for look, we met 6 days ago, but I think I'm in love. Yeah. That's amazing. That's so funny. He's great.
And then what else is here? Oh, so Joe tweeted, I know why they wouldn't let me bring any weed with me. Case y'all wouldn't have been fight. Oh, cause y'all wouldn't have been fighting over a damn thing but the lighter.
That's fun.
And then Uche tweeted, Kiana sees you when you're sleeping. She knows when you're awake.
Oh, she reminds me so much of Gianna from last season. Like, I'm getting such Gianna vibes. And, like, when you say their names or say Kiana, it just reminds me of talking about Gianna and Hayden last year.
Someone did tweet, like, I think Gianna, like, gave you tips on how to be on the show or something like that. Someone tweeted that at her. So you're not alone.
Yeah, no, I definitely could see the comparison being drawn.
So Stephen Lean says, why does MTV hate us? Can't we have a normal episode structure?
Probably not. I feel like you said, like, I'm sure it has something to do with the end result, but I don't know. And I'm always like, I know we've discussed the structure a little bit, but it doesn't bother me. I don't need a clean structure. As long as I'm entertained, that's all that matters.
Yeah, I think it's getting weird to adjust to the matchup mid-episode and the truth booth at the end, but this is what we have. It doesn't show any signs of slowing down, so you might as well apply the Mitch Watch principle. Choose to love everything you hate about it, and you'll be right back on board.
No, I like it. I like it.
A couple of plugs as we head out of this week's episode into next. I, as we said before, will be recording the Challenger wrap-up. Not too late to jump into that because basically all the people who started are still there. We have 1,000 episodes, so Brian and I will be here every week also recapping that on MTV. Great show to transition from watching Are You the One to, because some of your Are You the One favorites are on the show. I will also be checking into the RHAP B&B this week, also on the reality TV Wrap-Ups Network, with Liana and Mike Bloom. So check it out or don't. I think it should be fun. I think that's it for me.
Nice. Cool. So that's Are You the One week three.
That's it. You can subscribe at robiswebsite.com/challenge iTunes and leave us your reviews. Let us know you're listening to Are You the One specifically. We love seeing that. You can follow me at Lash Tweets and get your questions in there. You can follow Adam
at Adam Bongo.
Yay. And we will see you next week.
Bye-bye.